Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to 2010. This is Jennifer Hellman, and I thank you for listening to AIR. With the new decade starting, we're going to start with an overview of astrology insights with Lynn Hayes. Lynn Hayes has been blogging about the planets on beliefnet.com. Astrological Musing is the name of it. And, you know, she also has a wonderful, wonderful website, astrodynamics.net, where she has a link to her wonderful radio show, Blog Talk Radio, which is 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Sundays. Also available on her website is Vision Craft, which is a way to aid in visualization and achieving your dreams. I also recommend you check out many of the other articles, blog, podcasts, and other other tools for personal empowerment and effective life change. She does readings and transformational life coaching as well. Lynn, I welcome you back and hope my tongue is inserted very soon.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Jennifer. And you know, Mercury is retrograde right now. So
yes.
Technically it's fine, but it
has affected my tongue.
That's what happens. I know. So that's one of the wonderful things about astrology is when you have a sense of what the planetary cycles are doing, then it gives you a context so that when your tongue gets tangled and you can't talk, you just say, it's just Mercury retrograde, and everybody understands. So it's no problem.
Well, thank you. Oh, you're most welcome. I have the added advantage also of saying it's hitting directly on my Mercury and my natal chart as well. So, bonus.
That's right. That's right.
So, basically, so far it started out with the eclipse and full moon and a blue moon on top of it on December 31st. How is the rest of the year going to be going? I mean, January, let's just put it right out there. January also has Mercury comes out of retrograde sometime. We also still have Mars in retrograde till March, and Saturn is going into retrograde soon, correct?
That's right. That is correct. That is correct.
Now, and go on.
There's an eclipse on the 13th that's going to be fairly intense. That's going to be a new moon in Capricorn, and it's going to be affected by two planets changing direction right at that time. So planets, I'm sure your readers probably know this, but planets don't really move backwards. But from our perspective on Earth, we observe the movement of the planets from Earth, and from Earth they sometimes appear to move backwards, and that's what we call retrograde motion. So when a planet is moving retrograde, its influence is more personal, it's more intuitive, it's more intense often, and those planets or the energy that's represented by those planets is particularly powerful when they're preparing to change direction. So when Saturn, all through this month, Saturn is going to be traveling only, you know, less than a degree. I think it's something like 3 minutes or something like this. It's just a very small amount of space. So Saturn's virtually at a standstill throughout the month, which means that the principle of Saturn, which is restriction, discipline, hard work, form, structure, conservative values, all of those things are going to be highlighted with Saturn in retrograde.
So that it really, Saturn always is a big one to go into retrograde.
Well, yes, yes. And all of the outer planets turn retrograde every year. So Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto always turn retrograde. For the last 30 or 40 years, they have all turned retrograde in the summer for some reason. So, but Saturn turning retrograde is particularly powerful right now because Saturn is in a challenging aspect, a square to Pluto. And this is, we're going to have the second hit of that square at the end of January. These are the most intense of the planetary dynamics for January, though. January is overall not going to be very eventful. It's kind of a good break. It's a good chance for us to come and bring our ideas together, bring our plans, and build up some strength for what's coming later in the year, which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
So, okay, with Mars being in retrograde and Saturn both being in retrograde, it really is slowing any kind of motion forward for people right now. It's really a good time to really regroup on what you truly want to do.
Absolutely. That's a very good way of saying that, especially with Mars retrograde. Saturn is stationary, and this new moon eclipse, which is going to be a powerful eclipse, it's going to be a long-lasting eclipse. And so the eclipse in the new moon is in Capricorn, which is ruled by Saturn. So Saturn and Capricorn share this focus on diligent application of focus and structure. So this is really what's called for this month. And Mars is our drive. It's the energy that fuels our desires. It's you know, when we say, this is what I want, and I'm going to make this happen, that's our Mars that's speaking. So when Mars is retrograde, it's more difficult to put those plans in motion. You know, instead we are having to look back and say, well, gee, I thought I was going to do this, but now this isn't happening, that's not happening. So Mars and Venus only retrograde every year and a half or so. Mars is changing direction March 10th, so for the next couple of months, we're dealing with this effect of sort of looking backwards at what we didn't do before instead of looking forwards at what we're going to do.
So basically right now is a good time with the Saturn and the Mars to really make sure our business plan has a good structure to it, that our relationships have a good structure to it, like open communication, and really dealing with any issues or problems within friendships, relationships, business, even your career and within yourself. It really is a good time just to check in with everything then.
Absolutely, and to make a plan. I always say Saturn really likes it when we make a plan. So, you know, when we honor our responsibilities, when we are careful with our relationships. Now, when Saturn squares Pluto at the end of January, we could find ourselves being confronted with some relationships, some jobs, some experiences that are ending. And Pluto is the planet of endings and transformation. So there's also new beginnings there. And if anything does end at this time when Saturn is making a challenging square to Pluto, then it's because there was an intention that it needed to end, that there's something else that needs to be brought in its place.
Right.
And if I could bring in now, talking about Saturn-Pluto, do you mind if I sort of talk about some of the bigger cycles that are happening?
Oh, please do.
Okay. So starting last year, we had a big cycle involving Saturn and Uranus. So Uranus is the planet that rules radical change, revolutionary behavior, innovation, bringing in a completely new energy and breaking free of the status quo. And then Saturn is that status quo. Saturn is, you know, this is how we've always done it. It's worked fine for my grandfather. It'll work fine for me. You know, it's that sort of conservative values, conservative thinking. So the first hit of the opposition from Saturn to Uranus was on Election Day in the United States, November 3rd. And those two planets are facing off a total of 5 times, which is a major planetary cycle. And we've seen this in all kinds of political arenas everywhere where there's this, you know, conservatism, this change, you know, changing healthcare, changing the war situation, and then bumping up against this conservatism. So when Saturn is moving into position to square Pluto, and then Uranus is going to join in the act, when Uranus enters Aries, which it will at the end of May, then those three planets are going to face off, and that's what people are calling the cardinal climax or the cardinal crisis, because it's all in cardinal signs, and cardinal signs are the signs that bring in the beginning of each season. They're the signs that fall on the solstices and the equinoxes. So they're the signs of initiation, of bringing something new into being. So this is what, it's this big alignment of these three planets. Well, it starts with Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto, and then next year it'll just be Uranus and Pluto facing off in a square.
Woohoo!
Yeah, then the fun really starts.
Oh, yeah. So is this going to be like the time, because I've heard there's going to be a lot of changes with, like, government and banking. That situation is going to come to a head. So would this be a really good time? Are you sensing that something may happen with that?
Well, that's already happened, as you know.
Well, it's so beginning. I think it's beginning, but I think it's going to peak. And then really the changes will start happening.
I'm not so sure. I was pretty certain that I think that there's been a lot of rebalancing that may have saved the devastation that we were fearing. Mm-hmm. But what I believe is probably going to happen, because, you know, this is the end of the square from Saturn to Pluto this year. August 21st is the final hit. That's the cycle that I thought was going to really devastate the economy. And the first hit was in November, and actually, you know, things are going pretty well. So when we get into the Uranus square to Pluto, which really starts next, well, in August, there's a big grand cross that includes the moon, and that's probably going to begin to accelerate the energy, and we'll talk about that. But this period between May and August is really pretty intense. My sense is that the economic fallout is probably beginning to stabilize. This is just my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I took all my money out of the bank, and I was buying silver, and, you know, because I was prepared. But I do think that things have stabilized now. So what I perceive is coming with this square between Uranus and Pluto. And I guess before I do that, let me just explain. Probably most of your listeners know this already, but just in case they don't, Uranus and Pluto, when you have the planet of revolution in a challenging aspect, you know, facing off in battle with the god of death, things get pretty intense, you know.
Yes, they do.
There's this transformational awakening, too, that can happen. An example of this is in the 1960s, between 1962 and 1968, is when those two planets were in the tightest conjunction. But really, for about 10 or 15 years, we had this revolutionary force coming into the mainstream psyche all over the world. And, you know, if you look back at what happened then, there was the feminist revolution and the Black Power revolution, and everything really changed. Free love and birth control. I mean, everything. So That was more cultural, and those two planets were in Virgo, which is a sign that is very much concerned with order and the details of life and that sort of thing. Now we have Uranus in Aries, the sign of war and aggression and, you know, the self, in a challenging aspect to Pluto in Capricorn, which is all about the governmental structures, like you were saying, the banking structures. And of course, when Pluto went into Capricorn, all of those things started to go through major upheavals. So what I perceive as coming is a lot of what we're seeing now. I mean, typically these big outer planet transits when they happen, or the big cycles when they happen, bring something up into the mainstream that's been building for some time. So it's like there's an explosion into the mass consciousness of some of these energies. So I believe we're going to have more of these terrorist attacks, in the sense that individuals, which is what we would perceive as Uranus and Aries, are attacking the structures of the government. You know, a lot of little splinter groups that are all fighting each other. I think we're going to see much more of that kind of thing.
So it's going to be very intense. This summer will be very intense, from May to August, the end of August then, will be really intense with all of this.
May into August. There's a little bit of a break in July, but, you know, it's not so much a break as it is just not as intense as the other months. And then in August, at August 6th, we have this Cardinal Grand Cross, which sort of culminates this energy with Saturn, because that Grand Cross that occurs on August 6th, let me get my notes here, includes a conjunction of Jupiter, which is a planet of abundance and possibilities. Now, Jupiter is a wonderful planet in the birth chart. It shows where you find your good fortune.
Mm-hmm.
But it also expands everything that it comes into contact with. So when Jupiter is conjunct a planet, it expands that planet. It makes that planet more powerful. It's like if you have a friend who thinks you're just fabulous, and everywhere you go, they just keep telling you how wonderful you are. That's kind of how Jupiter is when it's traveling with these other planets. So Jupiter is going to be conjunct Uranus and in Aries, opposite a triple conjunction of Venus, Mars, and Saturn, all in Libra. And both of the ends of that opposition, which is like a seesaw, mm-hmm. are in a square, a 90-degree angle, to Pluto and Capricorn on one end and the Moon and Cancer on the other. So the Moon is sort of moving into position to activate this Grand Cross. A Grand Cross happens when you've got four or more planets that are in 90-degree angles to each other.
Now,
it's like a big square.
Now, what is Jupiter? Is Jupiter going to be in Pisces by then?
Well, no, Jupiter's moving into Aries. So Jupiter's going to be in Pisces for a short time. It's moving into Aries at the beginning of June.
Okay.
Let me tell you another interesting thing about next year. Because all of these planets are in the very early degrees of cardinal signs, like 0 to 4 degrees, every season, this might be a little advanced for some of your listeners, but at each solstice and equinox, that's when the seasons start, right? March 21st, mm-hmm. we have spring, summer, solstice, we have the summer. So astrologers look at the charts for those solstices and equinoxes to get a predictive flavor of what that season is going to bring. And every chart for every season, up until the winter solstice, which has its own interesting stuff. But so the spring equinox, the summer solstice, and the fall equinox are all interacting with this Grand Cross. So this is going to be a powerful year of a lot of change. And if I can just bring in one more group of planets that we're working with too, that would be Chiron and Neptune. So do you mind if I talk a little bit about them?
No, please do.
So Chiron and Neptune started a conjunction back in February of 2009. And Chiron might be new to some of your listeners. Chiron was discovered in the late 1970s. And some people call him an asteroid, but really he's a planet with a coma-like tail. So he's, you know, they call him a planetoid. But in astrology, he rules the principle of wounding and healing, and also wisdom. So the idea behind Chiron is that we, you know, in our life, we have experiences that wound us, and often we don't deal with those things. You know, we don't want to feel it. We move on, we distract ourselves, and then we go, phew, I'm glad that's over. But those feelings are still lingering in our psyche, in our body, in our spirit. So what Chiron does is Chiron, when we're either having a transit from Chiron in the sky to a planet in our chart, or a planet in the sky to Chiron in our chart, there's this opening of those wounds, and all of a sudden we might feel extremely emotional. And the reason, of course, is that's an opportunity for us to revisit those feelings and release them and gain more wisdom in the process. So when Chiron and Neptune have been conjunct in the sky, because Neptune is the planet of mystical life, it's the planet of transcendent experiences, it's the planet that rules our longing to return to a connection with our soul at the deepest level. So we've had this combination of this emotional healing and the call of the soul, which is saying, you know, it's calling us deep within ourselves, but in order to get there, we have to sort of blast through these emotional wounds. So for some people, you know, this was particularly intense in May and June of 2009, when these two planets, who were right next to each other, changed direction at the same time. They're going to be within 3 degrees all through 2010, so we're still dealing with that energy as well. And I think that's really, even though it's not all that comfortable, especially if it's affecting somebody's chart, it still is really useful, because when we're feeling this, you know, all of these emotions and these emotional crises for some people, they motivate us to discover what's really going on inside of ourselves, you know, to really turn within and develop more wisdom about what we're doing here. So that's another sort of overarching effect.
And what signs are those in? So if people know that.
They're both in Aquarius, Chiron and Neptune. Yeah, so all through 2010, they're going to be between 24 and 28 Aquarius. And they'll be within 3 degrees of each other. So they're traveling together all year. So this is, you know, whether you're on a path or not, this is going to be a time of great opportunity to
search your soul.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Reconnect with your soul. And I've been going through that process even more so in December, believe it or not, though I have felt it through the most of 2009, which I think a lot of my listeners have. I really felt it more in December for some reason.
There might be something in your chart that's been particularly activated in December.
Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. It was a beautiful experience. It really was. So I'm not complaining. It really did bring a lot of clarity and wisdom to my situation. So it might be intense for you folks, but overall, I'm glad I went through the experience, definitely. So,
and that's the beauty of Chiron, because on the other side of that emotional upheaval is the wisdom. Once the emotional blocks are released, then on the other side is that experience of balance and integration.
So it's very cool. So is there any really, I mean, overall, it's 2010 is all about transition and transformation, most definitely. Is there any, like, lighthearted, possible scenarios for really for relationships? What's Venus up to these days? For more, you know, a lot of my clients are saying, okay, what's going on with my relationship? What can you tell me? So what is Venus up to?
Well, Venus is a fast-moving planet. So Venus typically doesn't affect us that significantly. You know, if you have Venus moving through planets in your chart, the effect is less than a day. So, but what's happening with relationships is because we're dealing now on a soul level. Mm-hmm. And it's almost, you know, that can be very difficult for people that aren't used to living in that way, you know. For some of us, we've learned through trial and error that when relationships are stripped from us, that it's probably for our, you know, for the mm-hmm. best. It's probably for our highest good. But for many other people who haven't really learned to look at things that way, they don't understand it. And what's happening now is we're really being, earlier this year when Chiron and Neptune were conjunct, exactly, I started to hear these words, gathering the tribe. You know, I just felt like I was reconnecting with my old friends mm-hmm. and that I was really gathering my tribe of people. So relationships, you know, and unfortunately, some of my oldest friends did not survive the cut. And I was working with a client today who was, you know, heartbroken because friends of hers that she grew up with, you know, have turned against her. But when she told me what happened, it's clear they're not feeding her soul. And so relationships right now are going to work when they're really feeding the soul, because there's something in us that has an intention to want to have that experience. And when once that intention is set, then the universe works in its mysterious ways to separate us from anything that's not going to serve that highest intention. That's a big thing with what's happening with this Chiron-Neptune conjunction.
And I've noticed that as well, that I mean, it's very interesting for me. I mean, I say, you know, I'm wondering where so-and-so is, and that's the beauty of Facebook, because all of a sudden they'll show up.
Yes, exactly.
And so it's Facebook is really, and I've been talking about this on the show, is it's really almost another community of like-minded people. And but yet, I'm seeing a lot of people now weeding out who's really there for them and who's not on Facebook. And it's a very interesting process that now you're saying this, and it's like it fits perfectly with what I'm saying on Facebook. So,
and you know, I got on Facebook right, you know, it was back in February, just as these planets were aligning, and it seemed like everybody I knew was getting on about the same time. You mm-hmm. know, all of us older folks, I don't know how old you are, Jennifer, but people, particularly in their 50s, have been having a powerful time this year because, you know, anybody who was born between 1949 and 1955 or so has Pluto in the same degrees as these conjunctions, as the Chiron
oh, wow.
and Neptune. So Pluto in our chart shows, you know, where we find our destiny. And so people are really feeling this call, this deep pull to have more meaning in their life, you know, to live at a deeper, at a more meaningful level.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful thing.
I was born in 62, so about the time of the Pluto-Uranus challenge, that's when I was around.
Yes.
That's when I started, so.
Okay, so you have your own set of issues.
I'm a rebel.
Yes. And a transformational. You know, all of you people, these Uranus-Pluto people are transformational. They're here to really create major changes in the world.
Yes, my Uranus actually was in retrograde at the time as well. So I really have to do things differently. can't go the easy route. That would be too simple.
You're right.
So with the overall planets, the way they're going, people can really expect transformation, a lot of changes in society as well as in the personal life. So just prepare for it. When is the next, Mercury ends on the 16th of January, correct?
I think it's the 15th, yeah.
15th. Doesn't the energy last a couple days, sometimes a little longer?
Yeah, it can. Because when a planet changes direction, remember, it slows down. Just like a car does when a car makes a U-turn. You know, it's not really moving forward or backward. It's
right.
Just turning. And that's what happens with the planet. So when it turns, there's a couple of days before it starts to build up speed again.
Yes. So when's the next time that Mercury goes in retrograde? Is it during that lovely time of the summer?
Well, Mercury is retrograde for 3 weeks, 4 times a year.
So, yeah.
So, yes. So let me just stall while I look up and see exactly when that is. The next retrograde of Mercury is April 18th to May 11th.
So it's almost hitting a little bit after, right before the major hit of the cross. Am I right?
Well, that big cross is
August. It's in August.
Now, but here's what's happening in May and June. It's really exciting. First of all, the fourth hit of the opposition between Saturn and Uranus, this pull between convention and change, is at the end of April. And Chiron moves into Pisces, too, this spring. So with Chiron in Pisces, and I'll be doing articles about all these big cycles. I usually, anytime a planet changes signs, a big planet, I always do an article. So if people want to visit my website at astrodynamics.net, I usually have the new articles with a little new there, so you can pick out the ones that are new. But there's a bunch of planetary energy. So there's the opposition between Saturn and Uranus at the end of April. Then Jupiter opposes Saturn, and Jupiter is, you know, the planet of abundance and positive energy. And when it's opposite Saturn, there can be some frustration. Then Uranus moves into Aries, which sort of activates this aggressive energy, you know, this force for change that can be a little more ruthless and a little more energized, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturn, Neptune, and Chiron all change direction within a few days at the end of May. So we've got their energies being pretty strong. And then Jupiter also changes direction. I'm sorry. Jupiter moves into Aries at the beginning of June and conjuncts Uranus. So when Jupiter conjuncts Uranus, so all through this period, so this is between May 23rd and June 8th, there's this intense, just a lot of planetary energy. People are going to be feeling it all over. They're not going to be able to say, oh, yeah, this is Saturn direct and this is Neptune retrograde. You know what I mean? But it'll be like, wow, what's going on? I'll be getting a lot of emails, you know?
Yes.
What's happening? It feels so intense. And then at the summer solstice, on June 21st is a powerful, powerful time. There's a grand cross with the sun exactly square to Uranus and opposite Pluto, square to Saturn. You know, I said a grand cross, but that's not actually true. It's what we call a T-square, which is like a cross with one side missing. Still very powerful.
Very powerful.
And a few days later, there's a full moon eclipse, and the moon in that eclipse is conjunct Pluto exactly and in a square to Jupiter and Uranus. So,
ouch.
Very powerful emotional upheaval and a lot of energy there. That's a time when there could be, you know, lots of arguments in our personal lives. You know, it's a time when we're going to need to allow a lot of energy release.
Exercise is good.
Exactly. Sex can be really good to release all that energy. Anything that channels this sort of aggression in a constructive way. Kickboxing, very good.
Yes.
So then July is, you know, this is what I was saying earlier. July is sort of a relief after that intensity. There's a few things. There's another eclipse, and there's, you know, we still have this T-square with Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto. We're going to have that pretty much throughout the year. And the final opposition from Saturn to Uranus. So there's definitely some things going on, but I think we're going to be sort of settling down and regrouping at that point. And it's almost like in May and June, something is shaken loose. You know, it's as if somebody picked up our cage and just started shaking it. Then they put us back on the ground and we start putting back the pieces in a completely different way. Then the Grand Cross happens, August 6th, which does seem like it's going to be a fairly significant shift. And then we move into this period that's going to be leading up to, it's actually 2013, which is when the exact square between Uranus and Pluto actually happens. I misspoke. It actually starts in June 2012. So June 2012, and then September 2012, also going to be very intense between August and September of 2012, and then moving into 2013 as well. So May and June of 2013 is the exact square between Uranus and Pluto. Then it goes into October of 2013, and then there's one more hit, which is in April. So this is a big event, this Uranus-Pluto square. There's five different contacts, which is a lot. Usually these cycles have three contacts.
Oh, joy.
So, yeah, it's a big time. It's not a good time to be reckless with your money, although when Jupiter conjuncts Uranus, which is going to be in, I believe, May of this year. Let me just confirm that. Yeah. In May of this year, we're probably going to see some big spikes in the stock market at that point. But overall, with all of these planetary energies, it's a good time to be kind of practical and to really start to, you know, just prepare for a rainy day just in case.
Well, don't you think a lot of people have been doing that in, 2009?
Absolutely.
Really settling down, getting a little more practical with the money, really looking at their spending habits and what they've really been doing. I know I have, definitely. And it was definitely a reality check with the financial situation for many people. So...
And that's a good thing because,
yes,
you know, people had not been saving. It was just really not a good situation.
So it's a good time to clean up and regroup, as we've been saying.
But there's a lot of people that are hoping that those days are going to come back so that they can be unrealistic with their finances, and that's probably not going to work anymore.
No, I'm not feeling it is. I mean, especially as long as Pluto is in Capricorn, that's just really making you more practical.
Exactly. And, of course, we've had Saturn in Virgo, too, for the last couple of years. And Virgo is very cautious and very thrifty. And, in fact, even before the whole debacle with the mortgage, well, it was actually beginning, but we still, you know, people were still more frugal. There was this... term frugalista instead of fashionista, that came out when Saturn went into Virgo. So we had more caution, more of a sense of, you know, taking care of the details and not being so extravagant.
Yes. So it definitely is going to be a year of really refining and transforming your habits in more positive ways, more practical ways, and really making things in a way more realistic. No, that's fine. I'm just trying to kind of summarize everything before we go into the next segment of your wonderful work that I really wanted to focus on as well. So do you have, about the astrology, how would you summarize overall, as I started this program, overall, if you could pick just one sentence to summarize 2010, what would it be?
It's really a time when we are being called deep within to experience what we're really here for and to understand what our life is really about. And the deeper that we can go inside of ourselves, the stronger our foundation is. And then everything in our life that's changed is approached with trust and with confidence and with love and joy, because we have a greater understanding of the process and the cycles of change and transformation.
I applaud you. That was beautiful.
Thank you. I should write that down.
Yes. On the replay. Right there.
Yeah, let's see. 44 minutes. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, really. 4404. So the angels are involved with it. That's beautiful.
Let me give you a little bit of numerological interesting things, too, this year, just really quickly.
Cool.
I thought this was pretty interesting. And I'm not going to pretend to know what it means, but on July 11th, there's a total solar eclipse, new moon. So it's July 11th, 7/11, and it's at 3:33 p.m.
Oh, wow. So that the ascending masters are somehow involved with that, because that's 3:33 is ascending masters.
Yeah.
Energy. So very powerful wisdoms coming through probably on during that day. That's really awesome too.
I think that time there's a major alignment there. And then Venus is actually going to turn retrograde in October, which it does once every 18 months or so. And it's going to turn retrograde at 13 degrees, 13 minutes Scorpio, 13:13.
Wow.
That's Yeah.
That's pretty powerful as well. Very sacred numbers here. So definitely huge transformations and downloads. I always, in those kind of things, I always say there's going to be a download of wisdoms one way or another. You know, that powerful of a number. So that's really cool. That's wonderful. Thank you for including that. The other thing I wanted to talk about with you is something you actually been doing for a while, but now you have a new book out, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And it's Vision Craft. So
it's Vision Crafting, actually, is what I call it.
Okay, so what is Vision Crafting all about?
Vision Crafting. And I'm actually working, a client of mine is a patent attorney, and he's helping me to get it. Trademarked, but
excellent.
Vision crafting is about creating a vision for your life. And, you know, many people are doing this, and of course everybody knows about The Secret. And it's definitely about the principle of abundance and the principle that we create our own reality. But what I've done for a long time with clients, and it started, I'll actually tell you just a little story. I have this client, it's kind of funny, but I had been doing this work for many years, you know, creating intentions, creating a vision for my life, and instead of just writing down goals, I started to write narratives about, you know, my life. I am married to this wonderful man, blah, 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 blah. And I live in a home on 5 acres with a pond. I would describe it. I wrote this all down. So it was like this vision. And now my life mirrors these things that I wrote down. I am married to that man. I do have the house on 5 acres with a pond. So, I had been doing it myself for quite a long time, and then I got to a point with my astrology readings back in the early 90s when, okay, so you're doing a reading for somebody and, you know, you're saying, well, this is why you have problems with relationships, because Saturn is conjunct your Venus, you know, or this is why you have trouble accepting success because you have Jupiter conjunct Saturn in your chart. So, you know, that just started to not feel good because, okay, this explains why we are the way we are, but then how can we move through that, and how can we maximize what's in the chart instead of reacting to the stress of it? Because every challenge in the chart is also a gift. Every challenge in our life has a gift that's sort of hiding in the center of the experience. So I started working with clients and, you know, just going through the same process that I go through. And then I formalized it a little bit. I started doing workshops, and then I would, I talk about some background. This is back in the late 90s and early 2000s. I was doing these workshops. So, and then we would make a list of everything that we wanted. This was something that I did in my workshops. And I got this really, frankly, from Tony Robbins, who I went through his 30 Days to Personal Power program, which is a really good program. But it's not so, there are some limitations to it. So I just took everything that I learned and just put some things together. And then I expanded the workshop journal that I used to give people in the workshops. I just expanded it into a book so that people can go through this process on their own, you know, as if I was there. And in January, I call it the January special, and I do 30-minute vision crafting sessions for $35. And people, even though I offer it all year round, people in January, they're so geared towards this because they're making New Year's resolutions. They want to make these changes. But it's really about creating a vision that's specific to you. So this is where we deviate from affirmations. Affirmations are things like, or this is the way we think about them. I deserve love. You know, every day I'm getting better and better, that sort of thing.
Right.
And with vision crafting, what I do, the thing that's a little different is that, especially when I'm working with a client in the process, and this is what I walk you through in the book, is, you know, once you have this list of wishes, I call it, then what are the things that are keeping you from being able to activate it? What are the belief systems that are holding you back? You know, I'm working with a client right now, and she's very lonely. This is a client whose friends have all abandoned her. But she doesn't want to go out and do anything where she would meet people. You know, she has these beliefs that if I go out and try to meet people, it means I'm desperate, and she doesn't want to feel that way. Mm-hmm. So that's a limiting belief that's keeping her from being able to go out and create a new life for herself, a new community of friends where she feels welcomed and loved and connected. So when I was working with her on, I call them vision statements instead of affirmations because I want to set it apart. You know, we wanted to factor in this fear that she has. And so we, you know, created a statement that's just for her that will help her to bring in that energy without creating the stress and the discomfort of forcing her to face her fears. Does that make sense at all?
Yes. So it really is a way of manifesting without really stressing you out to do it.
Well, yes. I mean, that's part of it, because we have to work with a person's blocks. You know,
right.
Somebody really doesn't believe, like I have a girlfriend, and she was so locked in poverty. And so I sat down with her, and I said, you know, because she kept complaining to me. I said, you have to either stop complaining or let me go through this process with you. So we sat down, and she lives in the UK. We were traveling together. And we sat down, and she said, well, I just want to make 10,000 pounds a year. And I was like, okay, let's say you're going to make at least 20,000 pounds a year, which is not all that much money, but for her, it was twice what she thought. And then she said, so in any case, she had very strong belief systems that she could not do it. But when she actually, so we created a statement that was going to be powerful for her, that she could say, that would energize her and inspire her. And so that's really what we're doing. We're creating statements that inspire you to be able to create these things that you want to do and break through your blocks at the same time.
So the
and
book is, go on.
The book is called Vision Crafting. It's linked on, everything is linked from my website, astrodynamics.net. The blog is there. There's a page for the radio show, which is also a podcast, and it's all right there.
And it's a wonderful site, endless information. I always go on there and see what's going on with the planets and see what else Lynn is up to. And it's always, she's such an inspiration to me for all the projects and all the things she's doing. And that's why I love having her on the show, because she really is an inspiration and a role model for me. So I thank you very much for being on the show. Her website again is astrodynamics.net. Highly recommend you check it out. Get a reading from her, buy the book, see what's going on with the planet on the website. She is on Facebook as well if you want to connect with her on there, at least to her website and her radio show. Do you have a separate one for your radio show on Facebook?
No, but facebook.com/astrodynamics. That's the Astro page.
Excellent. So, with that, this is Jennifer Hellman. Next week we will be talking to Sandra Engelman about shamanism and the changing times and ways to get through it. Until then, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, gain new insights and inspiration. Many blessings and good night.